Rainmaker FM is brought to you by the Showrunner Podcasting Course, your step-by-step guide to developing, launching, and running a remarkable show. Registration for the course is open August 3rd through the 14th, 2015. Go to showrunnercourse.com to learn more. That's showrunnercourse.com.
This is The Missing Link with your host, the insufferable, but never boring, Sean Jackson.
Hello, everyone. It's Sean Jackson, the host of The Missing Link, and I am joined, as always, by the eclectic Micah Gadea. Micah, how are you today?
I'm doing excellent, Sean. How are you?
I am actually super excited. Normally, I'm fantastic, but today I am excited, and I'll tell you why. This is our 10th show, Micah.
I know.
I mean, nobody believed that we could get to 10 shows. But we did. We made it to the 10th show. It makes me laugh because, you know, when we first started together on this journey, Micah, and we were putting this show together, I want to let our audience in on a little secret. I was terrified.
Right.
And I'll tell you why. Because I knew that I was just going to be terrible that for 10 shows, right? And that's why the 10th show was so important to me, because I told everyone, I am just going to suck for the first 9 shows. Yep. Hopefully by the 10th one, I will suck less.
I remember.
You remember? And I was like, I think we're getting better. I don't know if we're good yet, but I definitely we're getting better. And I want to thank all of our audience who's been listening to the show on a regular basis. We cannot thank you enough. And for today's show, what I think, Micah, we should do is a recap of the past 9 shows. What do you think?
Oh, that's brilliant. Brilliant.
Because what we have found in this journey together, Micah, is there's a lot of great information out there that our community has been contributing to us, to the interviews that we've had over the past 9 shows. I mean, we just have so much great information that I think the 10th show, as a homage to our previous past, we should go ahead and talk about the tips that we have learned in this journey for the past 9 episodes. You like that, Micah?
I love it.
And, you know, what's really interesting to me is the fact that we have been able to come up with this compilation, right? It's just amazing that we were able to come up with it. But what really gets me, Micah, is the group that we have.
Yeah, they are amazing and active and interactive and asking amazing questions. And I think that my favorite thing to see is that people are actually having success on LinkedIn because of The Missing Link.
Exactly. That there's real results that people are able to achieve by listening through and participation in our group that we have out there. And so I would encourage everyone listening to the show to sign up on our very private LinkedIn group called The Missing Link Show. But you know what? You have to know the secret to get in. Right, Micah?
Exactly.
What is the secret of getting into our group that has all of this great information?
Well, the secret, if you are in the continental United States, is to take out your mobile device and text 41411. And then the keyword there is going to be my link with no spaces, MYLINK. And we'll immediately get you set up with the group invitation and you'll start seeing the promotions and things of that. If you are outside of the continental United States, you will need to send us an email.
That's right.
That's going to be at missinglink@rainmaker.fm. And we'll take care of you there.
And you will want to do this because, again, a lot of the tips and tactics that we're going to cover in this episode are going to be found in that LinkedIn group that we maintain, that super private group. So get out your phone, send an email, come and join us as we go through this LinkedIn marketing journey together. And when we come back from the break, we're going to go through the 13 power tips that we found in the past 9 shows. Stay tuned, everybody.
Podcasting is a great way to build your online authority, but the key to success is to publish online, and the Rainmaker platform makes that easy. Rainmaker is the complete online marketing solution that makes it easy and simple to execute your online marketing strategy. So whether you need a design, landing page, or a simple way to publish your own podcast, Rainmaker is the solution for you. So head on over to rainmaker.fm/platform right now and sign up for your free 14-day trial. because this is the same tool that we use to publish The Missing Link. And if Sean and I can use it, then so can you.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Sean Jackson and Micah Gadea, and we are going to go through 13 power tips that we have learned from the past 9 episodes of the show. So, Micah, you know, I really asked you when we were preparing for today's broadcast to come up with a list of things that we've learned. So I'm going to kick it off to you because you did all the hard work. I just get to talk about it. So I'm going to let you go ahead and kind of bring us into what you have discovered, and let's get this kicked off.
You got it. Well, I will tell you, I didn't come up with just 9. I thought about doing one per show, but then I went through our Missing Link group and found amazing tips. And this is not all of them, but these are just the favorites that we picked out to share on this show. So then we put them into 3 different categories. So Sean, I'd love to start out. Every single show talked about having a clean and compelling and up-to-date profile. Mm-hmm. So we've got 4 tips I'd like to talk about within the just setting up an excellent profile on your LinkedIn page.
Yeah, that, you know, it's so funny. If you look at almost all the advice out there from us, from anyone else, it all starts with a profile. Yep. So let's go through the very, you know, kind of the top line ones. And of course, the past shows, we go into a lot more detail, but let's pull out a couple of them first. First off, Micah, I think it is the headshot, right?
Yep.
You know, what is it about the headshot that people need to know about?
Cleanliness.
Well, of course, yes, take a shower. But after taking a shower, Micah, come on. What is it about a headshot that is most important?
Comb your hair. Headshots need to say who you are, need to show who you are immediately. And number one, that is your first impression that you're going to make on anybody that views your profile.
Right. And I think that's where it's key to have your face fully, almost 70% of that little thumbnail should be your face. It should be you. It should be easy to recognize. Not the standard mugshot that you would find on some corporate badge, you know, but something that clearly shows your face, because that I think is crucial. And of course, in our LinkedIn group, which you can get to if you follow our instructions about 41411 or emailing the missing link at rainmaker.fm, Sandy gave a great link in there on ways to get basically a professional photo done without having to pay a fortune to get it done. And I think definitely look in that LinkedIn group, because Sandy had some great tips, a link that she shared. And of course, in episode 2, we talked about all of the details about your photograph, et cetera. So if you're going through the archive, go back to show number 2, where we talk about using LinkedIn the right way. The second thing about a profile, Micah, is, and I'm really adamant about this, is that when you, underneath your name, appears what's called your professional headline. It's right underneath your name. And anytime you connect with somebody, or if anyone's clicking on a little link that has your name, inevitably this professional headline is the thing that shows up. Now, I have seen professional headlines that look like somebody's resume compacted into 250 characters, you know, it world-class leading, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Folks, I'm going to tell you now, let me tell you what the photograph and headline, professional headline, do together. They prove you're not a bozo, right? And to remove the bozo filter, you have to use your headline as a place for authority, right, Micah? I mean, because again, if I'm on a life journey with somebody, blah, 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 that doesn't really tell me anything. If you are the CEO, the CFO, the, you know, the chief strategist, the whatever, use that professional headline to build authority, not just regurgitate your life journey through whatever profession you're doing, right, Micah?
Right, right. And in the promotions page, we do have a link to our free magnetic headline ebook, which I know everyone in our company at CopyBlogger probably still references at least once a month.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, again, in that LinkedIn group that we have underneath the promotions, where we're listing all these resources.
Right.
The other thing that came up, and I really like this, this actually came from Barry and Michael on our LinkedIn group. Someone asked the question about how do I compare my profile to other people in the company? And it was a great question. And I thought that was the other tip, because as you're working your profile, it's not just the fact that your profile is strong. You would also hope that other members of your organization have a strong profile as well. And so this was a tip that I loved, is that you basically go into your profile to edit your profile. On the right-hand side there, you'll see a title that says who's viewed your profile. Just click on that link. And then in there is a tab that says how you rank for profile views on the next page. And in the middle of that, you can click on your company, and it shows all of the people in your company and compares your ranking for views to everybody else in the organization. And I just love that power tip because, again, it's not just about the strength of your profile. It's how do you monitor the strength of other people in your organization.
Right.
And then, of course, the fourth power tip is something that Eve Mayer shared with us on show number 3. And that is, Micah?
That is very, very powerful, is to ask for recommendations from your customers and people that you have served, and not just your managers and your coworkers. Because the people who are looking for you, they want to know what kind of service they can expect. And that will convert so much more often.
Eve Mayer is known as the LinkedIn Queen, and this is one of my favorite tips from this, right?
Yep.
I mean, that show number 3 was great, but in especially in this idea that, you know, it's not just the superiors, if you call them that, in your organization. It is the customers, the people who you are really impacting through your work and effort. And I love that because, again, it makes your recommendations more meaningful. Right? You know, the recommendation says they are a good worker is not as powerful as this person changed my life. Right?
Exactly. 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 And delivered exactly what they said plus some.
Exactly. And that goes back and builds trust, right? Because your LinkedIn profile can help you establish authority and is designed to help build trust so that when people look at your profile, they know you're not a bozo. They know that you're not some, you know, idiot out there. And that's important. We cannot stress enough. And again, there's all of our shows from show number 2, show number 3. We talked a lot about the strength and what has to be in those profiles.
Yeah.
So those are kind of the things about profiles that really stood out from the past episodes. Micah, what is next that we were really covering through?
Yeah. Well, the next big chunk we're going to look at for, and there's 3 tips that we came up with in this one, is how to make meaningful connections through LinkedIn. And these are the people that you're selling to, that you're trying to get a job from, you know, and who to connect with and who not to connect with.
Yeah, boy, that was, you know, we had a lot of questions coming around is, you know, what are some of the ways to reach out to people on LinkedIn in ways that just don't seem, you know, that aren't just generic, right?
And creepy, right?
And creepy.
Bozo does creepy.
Yeah, Bozo does creepy. That's it. So let's go through the first one. And I think this one, is very, very important. Often in the LinkedIn environment, you will see recommendations for people to connect to. Now, some of those people will be people you know very, very well, and a generic message may just be perfectly fine, right? So if Mike and I were not connected, we know each other well, we could connect with a generic message. However, in most cases, you may have met someone at a conference or talked to someone in passing, and you're trying to connect with them. So do not use the generic message at all when you're trying to invite them to connect with you. In fact, this past week, I've had to build some connections of my own. And again, I was using the messaging feature to put context about where and when we met, what would be beneficial for us to connect, why it is beneficial, what can we achieve together. You know, think of context, think of why. Why should this other person who may have casually met you, why should they connect with you? So I think take the time to do that. And we talked a lot about tips for connecting in show number 8, which I love that show, by the way.
It was.
How to build strong connections on LinkedIn using dating advice from Cosmo Magazine.
We are that good, Sean.
That's right.
And it was. I mean, it was a really helpful show. I listened to it not long ago.
Yeah. And I think it's, again, because in the way that you build dating relationships is very much the way you build online relationships. The second tip that came from Tim Ash in show number 4, which was our 5 LinkedIn experts and some of the power tips they have. And this one, when Tim Ash from SiteTuners shared this, this was something that I was like, wow, because I never thought of it. So here's what you do, folks. You know, in LinkedIn, it does tell you who has been looking at your profile. And for narcissistic people like me, it's wonderful. It means people like me, or at least somebody thinks enough of me to look at my profile.
That's right.
Here's the twist, though, guys, is that you should take that information and immediately, when someone looks at your profile, send a message back to them saying hello and ask if you could be of any assistance or help to them. Not trying to sell them, not trying to be the bozo, if you will, that says, hey, you know, you want to do business, you want to buy this, but just coming back and say, I noticed you looked at my profile. I appreciate it. Is there anything I can do to be of service or help to you? When Tim Ash said that, Micah,
yep, absolutely.
I was like, oh my gosh, this is a great tip because it's a very powerful way to reach out to someone in context of the fact that they just looked at your profile. Now, of course, it requires you to, you know, log in every day and look at, you know, who your profile is. And if you're a narcissist like me, you do that anyway.
That's just part of the routine. And he did say to do it quickly. I remember that. He did say, you know, to make that turnaround time after they view it as quick as you can.
Yeah, because it immediacy is everything, right? Because in 24 hours, they may have forgotten why they came to look at your profile. So that is a great way for building a connection. The third tip that we have, you know, Sonia Simone created this term, so I'll give her credit, but we're going to own this term, Micah.
Totally.
Disconnect from link holes.
Yep, on a regular basis.
Yes, on a regular basis. And what we mean by this is that so many times you're creating up connections and broadening the amount of connections you have. And we talked a lot in previous shows about why you should only connect with people that you have that would know who you are when you're talking to them via the LinkedIn platform. Link holes, however, are people who you may have connected with. Let's say you met them at a networking event or something, and you connected with them because they asked for a request, and then over time you never really did anything with them. Just go in and remove connections. It's not only important to add connections, it's also important to kind of remove some of the connections that you have so that, again, your ability to reach out to people is improved because you're reaching out to people that you feel know, like, and trust you or you have some ongoing relationship with. And the nice thing about removing people, too, they don't know if you've removed them. Just because you disconnect, it doesn't send them a message saying, Sean Jackson has just disconnected from you. So feel free to go ahead and pare down that contact list. And because, again, as a professional marketer, you are going to want to use some of the LinkedIn features to reach out to your network. And you want people who you have some ongoing relationship with, or at least when they get a LinkedIn email from you, they remember and know who you are. So always feel comfortable pairing back and take the link holes out of the equation.
And thank you, Michael, for that very sage advice.
Yes, that was from Michael from our discussion group. And Lynn and Steve, of course, were participating in that. Again, that LinkedIn discussion group we got is awesomely powerful. I mean, the people that are on there are just incredible in the questions and advice. And I mean, I'm just still blown away by how successful that group is.
They're working hard. They're working hard at their LinkedIn businesses. And that is, you know, and I think that it is because of, you know, the insight that you're bringing about LinkedIn and the approachability of LinkedIn rather than the stuffability that it was.
I agree. And of course, it wouldn't be a show without Micah, because I'm telling you now, dude, you make life so much better for me and our audience. Otherwise, they just have to listen to me opine by myself.
Y'all are all welcome.
So let's go through the third category you got there, because this one we had a lot of questions and a lot of advice for as well.
Right. So we've got your profile looking good, and now you have your connections. The next thing is building traffic and creating your business on LinkedIn.
Yeah. And I think what she means by creating your business is putting LinkedIn as a fundamental part of your overall marketing. You know, in certain places, LinkedIn is 10 times better than using Facebook. Quite frankly, it's the largest professional network out there. But of course, everyone can put a profile in and people can go in and create connections. But the real trick, of course, is what are the smart ways, right? The smart ways to build traffic. So number one, this actually came from Jason Miller, who works for LinkedIn and was our very first guest on The Missing Link. And he really made a strong case for why you should use SlideShare. Now, I have been using SlideShare for a long time. And of course, if you don't know, LinkedIn bought SlideShare. So the integration between your LinkedIn account and your SlideShare account are right there in the same universe. And to me, at Copyblogger, we started experimenting with SlideShare, taking some past posts, some information that we had created up on the blog site, and started turning those into presentations. And what blew me away was the amount of results that we got from taking the same piece of content and repurposing in SlideShare and sharing that through the LinkedIn network. In fact, didn't Jason have a point, a case study that shared with us about that, Micah?
Oh, yeah. I remember he said that there was a white paper that had 17,000 text views, I think it was. And when it converted visually into SlideShare, it went over to 500,000 views. It was the same exact material. Right?
I love that. Jason had some great stats and some great examples on our very first show, why LinkedIn is an essential part of your content marketing strategy. And that one thing about SlideShare really, I think, blew me away in that it's just a very powerful medium to start drawing traffic to you. But that's not the only thing. And as any professional marketer who is using LinkedIn will tell you, groups are hugely important. Obviously, our group is important to us. Certainly, many of our guests in the past have talked about how important groups were. So, of course, the second advice is start participating in a group. If you're not in an active group now, and certainly an existing group, then as Eric Inge said on our show number 5, The Art of LinkedIn Marketing, he really talked about and made a very compelling case for why you need to be in groups right now. That some of the best traction that they are seeing, some of the best engagement they are seeing is through that interaction on existing groups.
Right.
But that's not it, Micah, because we also had
Jabez LaPrette.
I know. And that was one of our most fun episodes.
Yes, it was.
Episode 6 that we had, which is little known strategies for using LinkedIn groups effectively with Jabez LaPrette. Jabez was awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
Show. And what was the power tip that really stuck out to you in that? Because there was so much great advice that he gave about how to really use groups to build your business. But he pointed out one particular thing that not a lot of people thought about. Go ahead, Micah.
Right. He said, when you're looking at the discussions on your groups, on the right-hand side of that group page, you'll see the most active people in that group. And obviously, you're active on LinkedIn. Go ahead and reach out to them and ask for their opinion on something or ask them for a review in an article that you feel that they will benefit from. But reach out to that active person in that group, and that will be, you know, super helpful.
Of course, and this is what it comes down to, is that if you're putting things into discussion groups and you are not really seeing a lot of traction, reaching out to those top contributors, and again, using a little bit of flattery, right? Hey, I really appreciate the discussions you started on here, your contribution. I really would like your opinion on something I wrote here in this group. And all of a sudden, these active participants may start engaging on the comments and discussions that you've put into that group, and now you've started to rise above, if you will, everyone that just posts and doesn't proactively reach out to the top contributors. I loved that power tip. I think it was one of the things from that episode 6 that just was, you know, which was filled with tips like that. I mean, just completely filled with it. And then, of course, you know, Micah, the fourth point that we have, and I've heard this complaint pretty much when we started the show, I ask a lot of thought leaders, you know, what about advertising on LinkedIn? Now, Jason Miller gave in our very first episode some great examples of how B2C companies were using LinkedIn to advertise to that network of individuals. And that's the key, because I really call it B2I, right? Business to individual.
Right.
And they were able to get amazing results. However, that wasn't the only discussion we had about buying ads on LinkedIn. In show number 7, we had Janet Driscoll Miller on. Now, Janet, I run into when Jabez and I were speaking at a conference together, and she shared this case study, which thankfully she shared on show number 7 with us about how she was able to take ads in LinkedIn, driving the people who interacted with those ads to a landing page, and set a cookie on that page using the Google AdWords retargeting feature, so that as people clicked on the LinkedIn ad, went to the landing page, and then went to other places on the web that had AdWords ads on there, this retargeting would follow them around to drive them back to the landing page they visited. That, to me, blew me away, and here's why. Because it was a very smart way to combine two different ad platforms to reduce overall cost, because, you know, Google AdWords are expensive sometimes, but to reduce cost and her results for her particular client that she shared, I think it was a 280% increase in sales. I was like, are you kidding me? It was I was like, really? I mean, it was almost unbelievable.
Yep.
And she was able to do that by just taking the idea of combining two ad networks together. So that's really our fourth power tip in drawing traffic. You know, we've also, Micah, had a lot of questions about the Pulse Network, specifically about posting content into LinkedIn.
Right.
So, Micah, what's our fifth power tip around that?
Well, when you're creating a post on Pulse, the main focus needs to be on strong headlines, which you can access in our promotions page, and always compelling stories and adding value.
Yes. And again, to Pilar and Anthony in our LinkedIn discussion group, really we're kind of driving those conversations and questions. And there is a lot of questions about Pulse. And I think, but just because Pulse is newish, doesn't necessarily mean the rules are different. Strong headlines always. And as Micah said, in the promotions area for our private group, we do have a link so you can get those magnetic headlines to create up strong, compelling headlines. And of course, create up good stories too. Because at the end of the day, people want to read something that's entertaining. And again, we have some of those resources on the group. And I think in the future, we will be talking more about Pulse. I'm working right now to find some experts around it so we can do a show exclusively around Pulse. And again, we have some discussions going on about the algorithm that Pulse uses. You can find that in our discussion group as well. So, Micah, I think we have the last power tip for bringing traffic is...
consider creating your own podcast. If you like what we're doing, do it. Do it for your business and your customers. We're having a blast.
Of course. We're not only having a great time and having a fantastic journey with our audience, but it's only because we started doing a podcast. And in our ninth show with John Naster, where we bare it all for our audience, we really talked about the science, the ideas, the strategy behind some of the things we've been doing on this show. And of course, we gave a very strong plug for why you should do your own podcast, because it is a clever and interesting way to drive people to a LinkedIn discussion group. So exactly what we're doing right now to you on the show, which is talking about our content and giving you ideas, but more importantly, trying to drive you to a LinkedIn discussion group so we can continue to have a dialogue together, is something that we encourage everyone to do. Right. And certainly John Naster gave a huge, huge amount of information on the way to do it and why you should do it, et cetera. And more importantly, we also talked about the results that we've been seeing. So that episode certainly is worth consideration for you. And more importantly, start podcasting and, of course, use the Rainmaker platform as a way to publish that content out, because that's the same platform Micah and I are using. And don't worry, Micah. You know why? Because everyone who starts is going to be scared to death like we were, but they don't have to worry because they're just going to be terrible. Don't worry, folks. Give yourself permission to be terrible.
It's true.
You know, I mean, Micah and I go through back and forth about, you know, there's that, what did we call that term? Something analysis. What was it, Micah?
Oh gosh, paralysis by analysis.
Paralysis by analysis, that we can't, you know, that you get so scared of doing something new and different. Just do it. Just like we have in this 10th episode, we've gone from being scared to death and making all sorts of mistakes to feeling a little bit more confident and hopefully a little better at what we're doing. But just get out there and start doing it. So, Micah, that really wraps up our 13 tips, our baker's dozen of things that we've learned from the past 9 shows. Micah, how's the experience been for you, by the way? What have you thought of this journey? Just kind of end us off.
Well, first, I will tell you, it's one of my favorite things that I do. And I tell that to anyone who might want to start a podcast. I'm really having a fun, and it's, you know, and it's not as difficult as sitting down and writing a post every week, you know?
Yeah. I think so. And, you know, beyond the podcast aspect, and certainly it's a lot of fun to do, but I think what I have found most rewarding in this whole journey we've taken together is the audience participation that we're getting through that LinkedIn group. I cannot begin to tell you how rewarding it is that I can go in and try to help people answer questions. And if I don't know the answer, the good news is there's somebody out there probably, you know, Barry from Scotland. You know, or Michelle, or you know, Cheryl.
Asking, right.
Yeah. I mean, there's always going to be somebody there. And to me, that has been probably the most rewarding aspect of putting this show together. And you know what, Micah? We're going to continue the journey with everyone because this is not the last show.
Yay!
So everyone, thank you so much for listening to the 10th episode of The Missing Link. And we can't wait to continue this journey together. This is Sean Jackson and
Micah Gadea. Thank you.
Thank you all. Have a great day.
You have just experienced The Missing Link exclusively on Rainmaker.fm.